Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
From The Athletic, always does outstanding work, Audrey Snyder. Audrey, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today.
You got it, Steve, no problem.
Let's get to the NIL part, because obviously James will be on the show tonight. And I am going to get into it a little bit with him about it. What was your takeaway in listening to what was a long, thoughtful answer on his part about the impact of name, image, and likeness moving forward?
You know, I think it was important to note that he was not happy with where Penn State started out with this, which has been a consistent theme. You know, you kind of go back to when this legislation went into effect, and he said several times Penn State was slow to react. And to me, the point that he really hammered home last night was Penn State's first year with NIL. I mean, the school's program was about training athletes to be entrepreneurs. And
Yes. Obviously,
you know, we all kind of know that NIL was put in place for one thing, and we've seen how it's been taken. And, you know, James Franklin's point has always been, like, everyone knew this was what it was going to come down to, but Penn State was slow to react. So, I mean, I think moving forward, and one of the things I wrote about today on The Athletic is this is a big opportunity this weekend to get in front of fans, to get fans on board. And I think the education piece of it has been something that, you know, a lot of people speaking with the various collectives, speaking with James Franklin, like, this is something that there has been a divide between Penn State and the fans and figuring out and understanding what a collective is and where their money goes. And, you know, I think part of it is, yes, it's new in many regards, so I think a lot of fans are struggling to understand it, but I also think there are a lot of people who simply are against NIL and are saying, you know what, we're not going to, maybe we give money for Nittany Lion Club and these other things, and we're not going to give any more. So I'm really curious to see what transpires this weekend. I know there are various events that the collectives are hosting. I know Lions Legacy Club, which is the football-specific collective, is doing a breakfast with James Franklin for only like 14 people. So that, is to me, is going to be pretty interesting. But yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of programming around the collective this weekend.
And not only that, it's not the only thing that's being hosted this weekend, because moving forward, the collectives are going to be important. Penn State's going to have at least 200 recruits on campus this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something, too. Like, you have to be able to show recruits, hey, this is what we're doing, right? Now, this is obviously, you can't say, hey, this is what we're going to promise you, X,
right,
Y, and Z, but you have
to
be able to show them, hey, social media, look at this. Look at the fact that you've got four players driving around in Teslas. Look at the fact that you've got an autograph signing going on. These are all things that the collectives have to do a better job of branding and putting out there, so that way the recruits can see that. And I think there's been a big learning piece to all of this, Steve, and I think some of that, of course, goes back to the NCAA tournament and, you know, not having a specific hoops collective, and now you're kind of seeing, okay, now there wants to be a hoops-specific collective, so how do you go about doing that? And to me, the interesting thing is so many of these collectives have changed, they've rebranded, the people running them have changed in the last year, the websites have changed, the messaging. It has been pretty messy for a while, and it's like, okay, Penn State, like, everybody has to get it together right now. Like, your storefront is open this weekend, so figure it out.
Well, not only is the storefront going to be open this weekend, figure it out, but the next part is starting on Sunday and then running through the 30th, there was a change in the calendar on the transfer portal, and it opens up on Sunday and goes to the 30th. So how interesting is it going to be over the next 2 weeks? Because they'll go through the spring and individual meetings are going to take place and decisions are going to be made by players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you're going to see the usual roster attrition. I don't think you're going to see anything crazy happen at Penn State, but never say never, right? I think that's something that the transfer portal has probably taught everyone, is that you think you have it figured out, and there always seem to be some curveballs along the way. But, yeah, I think for Penn State, it's about identifying, and I'm sure they've already done this, but identifying what your needs are. And my guess is that defensive tackle will be one of those areas. We know that Trey Potts is verbally committed to come in. He had made that announcement last week. So you have that number three running back, which was critical. You've got Dante Cephas in line to get here. Obviously, that receiving core is in flux. You have to get him here. But to me, I'm curious what they target in this next wave, because Penn State's done a really nice job of finding players that could be instant impact guys. And, you know, we hear so much complaining from fans about the transfer portal and how it's changing the sport. Penn State has benefited more than they've lost from the portal. And I think that's, you know, that's important to remember. And while it's great that they've gotten guys who have benefited them, there's a whole process to that and how you identify these guys, tapping into previous relationships you might have with them when you recruited them out of high school. I mean, there is a whole process to it. But, yeah, get ready, Steve, because as soon as spring ball ends, it is on to the transfer portal.
I mean, basketball is already up to 1,500 to 1,800 in the transfer portal. And that's part of it. Football is trending in the same direction. But Penn State's also been, as you pointed out, Audrey, selective in the transfer portal. And I think a part of that has been, you know, that's been their MO of being selective. I also think they've done a good job of vetting the recruits.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard so many times, and Manny Diaz had told us this ahead of the Rose Bowl last year. He said, you know, you have to remember, we're not playing fantasy football here. Like, it's not just about compiling talent. You have to get players who are a right fit for this program culturally. And also, hey, you're stepping into a meeting room where everyone else in there knows that you were brought here for a reason, and that reason might be to take their job. So there's just this interesting kind of personal dynamic to it that you have to take into account. And, you know, by all accounts, Penn State has done a tremendous job with getting players who are the right fit. I mean, we've heard it so many times already this offseason about Storm Duck comes in here from UNC, and everybody said, yeah, he hasn't really said much, kind of put his head down, gone to work. Terry Smith said as much last night after practice. So they're getting players who have fit in well, but also players who we've seen have been able to make an instant impact. And that's tough to do. I mean, you've got to tick a lot of the right boxes to do that.
Do you feel that part of that is that a player coming in, for example, on Penn State defensively, they'll play 22 to 27 guys on defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that has played a role in some people saying, hey, maybe Penn State, because guess what, if I go there, I will play?
Absolutely, I think so. I mean, if you're transferring, right, I think everybody has to remember these players are leaving their other school for a reason, right? And a lot of that is they want to play, and they want to play right away. And one of the things, I'll go back to the conversation with Terry Smith last night, he said, yeah, we're going to play a lot of cornerbacks, and we're going to continue to do that because that's also building your depth long-term. But, yeah, it makes it more appealing when you're saying to a transfer, hey, look at how many snaps this guy got last year. You know, if you're a receiver, you can say, hey, look at what Mitch Kinsley was able to do. Look at what Arnold Ebikadi was able to do. I mean, and so on and so forth. Like, you've got a lot of examples now where you can point to guys that have been really successful here via the transfer portal. So, yeah, playing a lot of guys, it matters. I think also it helps, too, with your high school prospects because it's showing them, hey, in this day and age, you're not going to be, most likely, you're not going to be here for 4 or 5 years, right? So you're coming in, you want to play right away, and you want to be able to see those snap counts. You want to be able to see that rotation and how many guys have played. And we saw that last year. I mean, you got a highly touted recruiting class in here, and Penn State was not shy about playing those guys because they know, you know, moving forward, the majority of your guys are going to probably be here for 3 years if you're lucky. And I say three because who the heck knows with the transfer portal, you know? Like, you've got to keep your current players satisfied, and that's also where NIL factors into this too.
Quarterback is an obvious one, so I'll leave that aside. Besides quarterback, what will interest you in watching Saturday's scrimmage?
You know, the receiving core, to me, that's like the big question mark. You know, I've heard a lot of good things about Keandre Lambert-Smith this spring. A bunch of players I've asked, you know, hey, has someone made a play that's impressed you? What play do you remember most from spring practice? And a lot of guys pointed to a one-handed catch that Lambert-Smith made.
Yes.
So that's kind of been the main one. So by all accounts, it seems like he's had a really nice spring. But again, they need him to be that guy. And if he isn't that guy, then as soon as Dante Cephas gets here, that door's open. But they need that number three receiver to kind of be solidified. And that's something we're going to see all throughout the summer. Like, I don't think we're going to walk away Saturday and say, oh, yeah, that's solved, that's fixed. Also, Steve, the special teams, I think that's maybe something that not enough people are talking and writing about. And, like, I get it. It's not the most, you know, it's not the sexiest thing out there. It's not the biggest attraction, but they have a lot of turnover on special teams, and they've got to get that figured out between kickers, punters, your punt returners. You look at a guy like Jonathan Sutherland, your special teams ace. Like, they've got a lot of transitions there, so I'm sure we're going to see probably a heavy dose of special teams on Saturday.
Yeah, return guys. The whole operation, because you not only need to have kickers, but you also need to have holders, because the holders are going to change this year. There's a lot that goes into it. On defense, anything you want to look at? Is it the defensive tackle spot? Is it ends? What is it?
Yeah, I think they are super loaded at defensive end. To me, those guys are going to be a lot of fun to watch this fall, because I do think this is probably the best group of defensive ends, top to bottom, that James Franklin has had in his time here. So I'm sure we'll see those guys a little bit on Saturday. But, yeah, defensive tackle, they're going to need more from Zane Durant, and he's a guy who I think the ceiling is super, super high, and we saw that last year when he was kind of the darling of spring ball and burned his red shirt. But, yeah, that to me is an area that I want to see more of. I want to see it on Saturday. And then I think, too, they have so many good cornerbacks. So getting a look a little bit farther down the depth chart, because so far this spring, it's been Kalen King, it's been Johnny Dixon. Those are the two that Terry Smith said have stood out above the rest, right? And then in that next group, you have guys like Cam Miller. You have Storm Duck in there, so Daquan Hardy. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to see that next wave, some of those younger guys at corner. Because to me, Steve, isn't that what this is always about, right? Like, seeing what this roster maybe looks like, not just a year from now, but two or three years from now.
What do you think of how interested are you to watch the freshman linebackers?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around how Tony Rojas gained 29 pounds since he got here. Like, to me, that is just, Steve, there aren't many times where I'm at a loss for words. And when James Franklin said that last week, I was like, wait, what? 29 pounds? And I mean, everyone said he's carrying it really well. He looks like a massive human being with a ton of athleticism. So, yeah, definitely want to look at them. And Tamir Robinson is somebody, too, that I'm curious long-term if he's able to stick at linebacker or if maybe he eventually outgrows the position. But, yeah, those guys should definitely be worthwhile to watch on Saturday.
Oh, I could gain 29 pounds, but I can guarantee you I wouldn't be quicker.
Would not be good weight.
It would not be good weight, not on me. Audrey, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
No problem, Steve. See you then.